Got a couple of quick announcements before we get into the message. And again, as I alluded in my email this week, we've got something special planned as a leadership team, and what we've been thinking the Lord, feeling like the Lord was saying and doing, specifically taking this weekend, the Labor Day weekend, because next week really is kind of that kickoff into the fall. And so we know that starting next week, I'm going to begin a 12-week series called Kingdom Foundations. Let me hear you say Kingdom Foundations. And really felt it was important for us to begin this fall with what are those cornerstones of faith, specifically 12 of them that are kingdom foundations, that Jesus Christ preached the kingdom of God. He says, as you go and heal the sick and cast out demons, tell them that the kingdom of God has come near them. It says in Matthew, seek first the kingdom, all these things will be added to you. So it's important. The kingdom of God is the main thing. And the reason I say it's the main thing, because it's the domain of the king, and Jesus is the main person in all of history, isn't he not? Right? And so we want to know where his kingdom reigns and rules, and so we're going to go through those foundations, and I think it's going to be a blessing. And part of what we're going to do, we'll have an opportunity to sign up for life groups a little bit later, is that we're going to have our life groups kick off. We have 8 specific. There may be more that branch off later, depending on how many people sign up, but we have 8 specific life groups. And the discussion time for those life groups for the fall, we don't always do this, is going to be centered around the message. And so we'll have discussion questions and things like that, so you can dive in deeper. And I've seen it happen before. Whenever a body unifies behind one thing, there's something that everybody's talking about it. There's a buzz about it. And it's not even about like the catchy thing either. We're talking about like the bread and butter, like, you know, meat and potatoes. We're talking about the foundation, the core of what the gospel message that we don't just preach, that we live out, is all about. And so it'll be an important thing also. Now, September the 18th, we have 2 things that are happening that weekend. One of them is going to be baptism. So if you have not yet been water baptized and you would like to, I've also had somebody say, I've been baptized before, but I feel like the Lord is telling me as just a new step of faith, you can be baptized as well. Because it's all about a testimony of what Jesus did, that you were buried with Christ and raised to him in brand new life. And so that'll be at the end of the message or service on September the 18th. And so you can take one of those green communication cards, fill out, say, I want to be baptized. And then somebody from our team will be back in contact with you on it. Children can be baptized as well. However, if you do have a kid, parents, one thing we do have is we have some information that we can help give you to talk to your children about what does baptism mean. And I'll just even use Kelly and our son as an illustration. I don't know how long ago, maybe a year ago, maybe after our son David wanted to be baptized. But we really got a sense in my spirit that it was about, well, the other people are being baptized, it would be a cool thing. We know he knows Jesus, but it was like something different about it. But then he just began in the last 6 months saying, I really want to be baptized. Well, why do you want to be baptized? And he began to, you could see a shift in his heart where he understood it wasn't a religious thing. It was like out of intimacy and obedience with God, I need to get baptized. And so we can help you walk through that question with your kids if you're having them. Also, that same day, we're going to have our next new members class. And really, we use our new members class as a launching point for you to get deeper into the life of legacy. We talk about what's the vision of the church. I'll briefly hit that today, but the vision, mission, and values of the church, and how can you become a part of the family of God here. And I'll just say this specifically, it's not just about joining a local family. That's definitely a part of it, and it's important to do that. But it's also a place that you can become equipped and activated to carry out the work of Jesus Christ in the earth. And so we are a sending church. In fact, I just got a text from Catherine Taylor this morning, who's down in Mexico. She's going to language school. Just saying, hey, I'm praying for you guys and excited that we're a sending church. And so we want to see you guys activate and get back into the community or the worldwide community where we're ministering in the name of Jesus. And so in the membership class, we're going to hit on some of those things. And again, you can fill out the information card and drop that in the offering box, and somebody will be back in touch with you. But make sure you sign up for that. Now, vision of Legacy Church is to see lives and cities transformed as people know, hear, and respond to Jesus. Lives and cities transformed as people know, hear, and respond to Jesus. What is so important to understand what we're going after. That the reason we gather every single week as a family is vitally important, because it's where we come into this place, we get it, we recenter our vision on what we're aiming after. And what we're aiming after is specifically the kingdom of God being released in the earth. Jesus said it, you will be my witnesses, preaching the kingdom of God, demonstrating the kingdom of God until the entire earth is filled with the glory of God. You are glory carriers if you know Jesus Christ and you walk in intimacy with him. If you are born again, you've given your life to Jesus Christ, say I am. I have. And so you are a glory carrier. So sometimes we look for these sovereign outpourings of the Holy Spirit to come down, the Shekinah glory to hit the earth. And those are awesome times when that happens. But you know the number one way that God wants to fill the earth with his glory is through you, his children, becoming activated into the purposes of God and going out into the earth. But I'll say this, it will be difficult for you to do that if you're still struggling with identity. If you're still struggling with things that are not true about you, like you believe lies, like I'm just a sinner that's still in this perpetual state of sinning, instead of I'm a saint that never lost his ability to sin, but I have the capacity for greatness because I've been redeemed. I'm a brand new creation. That's part of what transformation looks like. And so when we say we want to see lives in cities, we stop for the one, absolutely. We minister the love of Jesus to each one. But we cannot lose sight just because of the one, we miss the sight of the world. He says, you will disciple nations. Not just people in nations, you will be an influence over entire nations. I heard a message this last week by Chris Valentin, and I thought it was spot on. He goes, if you look in the world right now, the Muslims right now disciple five nations in the world. Like the entirety of that nation is a Muslim nation. So they're discipling an entire nation. I don't think as Christians that we disciple an entire nation at all. But yet, that's what we're called to do. So it must begin with us recentering our vision onto what we're going after, seeing lives and cities transformed as people know Jesus. And I'm talking about like they have an intimate relationship with him. They hear him speak. Faith comes by hearing him speak directly to your heart. You need to know that as a child of God, you can hear him speak. Something I posted on Facebook this week, I don't like posting a ton of stuff on Facebook. That's just not me. But there was something out of YouVersion this week that just hit me. When Jesus is having this engagement with Pilate, when he says, you know, you'll know the truth, and he's standing right before you. And basically he says, all those who belong to the truth hear my voice. So incredible. That if your goal is just to know truth, knowledge, you're going to miss it. But if your goal is to know him, which is the truth, and that comes from, you'll be able to hear his voice speak to you. And then how do you respond to that? How are you responding in faith and obedience to the things that God's putting on your heart? Are you following more after him? Are those areas of your life, when we talk about holiness, being set apart, it's so important for us. It's not about performance and it's not about behavior management. However, if our heart does not come into alignment with his, we will continue to struggle with behaviors that don't reflect the new creation life that Jesus has for us. So our focus in discipleship doesn't become about the bad things. It becomes about who are we in Christ? What is he made available to us? We start to live out this life, and guess what? Those bad behaviors begin to transform in a moment. So we want to see people saved. We want to see people healed physically and inner healings. We want to see people set free, delivered. We want to see people discipled, growing up into who God created them and redeemed them to be. My goal every single week is that you would learn how to live out the life that Jesus created you for. I mean, like, fully live it out. Life out loud. There's no fear. There's no condemnation. You just go for it. There's no fear of man. You just go for it. Live in the life that God created you for. I mean, powerfully live in the life. And it doesn't become about the stuff you get to do, but who you are in him in an intimacy and relationship, or you go and you start to fill the earth with his glory. We must have a vision for this. So we become discipled. We learn what that looks like. We start to follow after Jesus, and our lives begin to reflect him so much that then we're equipped to live that life out. And then we're empowered to live that life, and then we're sent. Sometimes I think what happens is we go through this thing where we're discipled, we're equipped, and we're even empowered, but we don't agree with being sent. And we say, God, I'll get fat and happy with what I've got, instead of pouring it out into the world around me. And it's time for his body to infect the world with sonship. An identity that's found in Jesus, where excuses go by the wayside. And instead, we step into who we are, and we do it through grace and faith, not out of fear and obedience to punishment. He wants to empower you in such a way. So here's the vision that we're talking about. And we'll dive into that more in the membership class, but I think it's important. So for today, what I felt like the Lord was saying is this, is that's what we're going after, but what does the local body look like? It's so important to know that you're in a local family, and there are vital organs as part of this body. See, Jesus is the head. We're the body of Christ. The head wants to do things in the earth, and he's waiting for his body to catch up. Sometimes we're asking, well, Father, why don't you go over there and do something? And he's going, why don't you feed them? Why don't you heal them? Why don't you come into alignment with what's available to you? He's waiting for his body to come into alignment. And the local body becomes a hub of revival. It becomes an activation point. It's not so we can just gather people for the sake of gathering, but it becomes a gathering point so people can be saved. They can be healed. They can be set free. Once they begin to experience that, now they're getting discipled, equipped, empowered, and serving. Why? So we can see lives and cities transformed, so much so that the entire earth is filled with the glory of God. And this is not a statement, by the way. Let me say this. There is no competition in the kingdom. So this isn't like, well, if that church over here and that church over there will just do it, well, since they're not doing it, we're just going to go do it. That's just stupid. That's what orphans do. What I'm telling you is I believe, because we work in partnership with other churches in this region, but somebody might have to lead the way. Somebody might have to lead the way. And I'm not responsible for other churches. I'm responsible for this church. And as a father in this region and in this house, it's my responsibility to equip and empower you to step out boldly. Now, in this church, we have ministries. We have our children. We have our youth, our student life. We have our guest experiences. We have our life group ministry that also includes men and women's ministry. We have our prayer ministry, which is not just pre-service prayer and intercession, but it's also at the end of service when we have ministry teams that want to pray the kingdom of God over you. It's we have our worship ministries. We have these ministries that are vital to the life of Christ in this place that you can be activated. And what ended up happening is saying, well, I'm not a hand or I'm not a foot. In fact, I was going to read through Corinthians and I just don't have time to do it. So right this week, I want you to read 1 Corinthians 12. And 12 through 27 talks about the different parts of the one body. And in that it says, a foot can't say it's not a hand because it doesn't belong to the body of Christ because it's not another function. And what Jesus is saying is, I'm not looking just even with the surface level extremities. Those are good things. But your hands will not function if your heart does not function. Your hands won't even have the energy to do something if your stomach doesn't function. Right? There's vital organs. You won't even have strength to be able to go and do the things, love the world like you're supposed to, if your liver and your kidneys aren't functioning correctly and in unity. If anybody's ever dealt with an autoimmune disease, it's like where the body begins to fight itself. Right? And sometimes I think that happens in church, competition. The one thing I love about our church and I love about our leaders is they're in it together for Jesus. We spent the summer just praying and talking through and what are these things we feel like God's calling us in to do, and he's brought us together in this unity where, you know, where Christine worship is for Amber Kay and children as much as she's for the worship ministry, and Amber Kay is for the youth, and you know, they're for the guest service. I mean, it's like this body, the vital organs of Legacy functioning together in wholeness because they see each other as necessary. And so what we're going to do here in a second is you might have been handed a number, or you should have been handed a number when you first came in. And we're going to have seven stations that are these ministries, and I want you to look at them as vital organs inside of this body. And this isn't say, so hey, come sign up for my ministry. You certainly can. This is so you who belongs to this body, you need to know what your heart does. You need to know what the stomach's, you need to know the vital organs here at Legacy, and you need to participate in the local body, because in the participation of the local body, the body is able to go outward and accomplish the idea of transformation in the world. It's so important that we catch a vision of what this looks like. I'm going to read this real quick, Exodus chapter 31. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Look, I have specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts." Let me hear you say ability. Great wisdom, expertise, in all kinds of craft. When I look at you, the body of Christ here, I look that the Lord has given you great wisdom and expertise and abilities in all kinds of crafts. And we cannot be heavy in one area without being balanced in all the other areas. And so you might say, "Well, I can't sing." That's okay. But what's in your heart? What gift, what expertise, what talent has God given you to be able to build the body of Christ? Remember, what they were building in this was the tabernacle of God. So God wanted to dwell with his people and they could encounter his presence. He made his presence known in this tabernacle and he used human hands to build it. What do we do in the New Testament? We are the tabernacle of God. We are the temple of God that wasn't built by human hands. It was built by Jesus himself. And he's looking for this body to come together with the talents and the abilities that you have and say, "You know what, in this season, I might not be a singer, but I'm a this." Maybe you're a graphic artist. Maybe you're a poet. Maybe you just have the gift of hospitality. Maybe you're a servant. Maybe you have a passion for kids. Maybe you don't even know. I just love Jesus. I want to go serve. Then find a place, dive in, and the first place you serve might not be your long-term assignment, but it may be necessary to you getting to your long-term assignment. I stand here now, and I promise you this, at 21, Kelly and I got married, and our first engagement was in youth ministry at CBC in San Antonio. Can I tell you, I love teenagers. I love them to death. I am not called to be on a week-to-week basis discipling teenagers in that regard. That's just not because I don't want to. That's just not part of my makeup. But I started there, and I learned to say, "You know what? I will surrender and submit to what you're calling me to do, God." And I learned so much from them in that season that now serves me in this season. And I thank God I did that season. Went and worked with singles, worked with college ministry. Kelly and I ran a single parent ministry for a number of years, 3 years. Both of our parents are still, thankfully, are still married and thriving. You know, we didn't have that experience in our background. We were told we would never have kids. So at the time that we took over the single parent ministry, we were not qualified by any earthly standards. But God in his wisdom said, "I've equipped you with great wisdom, my expertise, and abilities to step into that." And over 3 years, we saw 500 families come through. I use that season now. I spent a number of years in business. I use that season now. My point is this. What season are you in now? Where's God calling you to plug into now so that in your future, you'll go look at it and go, "Man, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be ready for now." There's a point of living in the now with a vision of the future. And Ryan, I love what Ryan says. The future, God's already there. It means he's already got a plan. He's got equipping. He's already got something stored up. So you don't have to worry about the future. You start now. What's it going to do? So, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask, before everybody else gets up, I want all my leaders, once y'all go to y'all stations, and initially we talked about doing, like having them come up on the platform and you go across and do it, but I was like, this is not about building a platform up here. This is about the body engaging all at once, okay? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with number one over here. This is going to be life groups because I think relationship is important, okay? So ones, you're going to start over here in a second, okay? Number twos with worship right here in the middle. Three is going to be with Cindy and transformation. Four is going to be with student life in the back. Where's my five? So we've got guest experiences, number five. Who am I missing? Naomi. I'm sorry. Scrap that. One, two, three, four, five, six, and where's my seventh? Six is back door. Kids. So Amber Kay will be back in here a second, all right? So just remember, start here and we'll rotate around. How about that? Is everybody thoroughly confused? We're going clockwise, all right? You're facing this way. We're going 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Did that work? Okay. I know everybody's got digital clocks now. They've got 5 minutes, okay? And we broke you up to where there probably is 12, maybe a little bit less people per rotation. And they want to share with you. What we want you to get is this. Maybe it's an area for you to serve. But more importantly, I'd say, is so that you know your body here. And you get a vision for your body here. And how vital it is here, too. All right? Are we all comfortable? All right, also, too. I was hoping y'all were uncomfortable because we want to shake it up a little bit. Was everybody handed one of these when you first came in? Okay. If you weren't handed one of these, we'll make sure we get you on the way out. This is basically a guide for these different ministries where you can walk away with something. So don't walk away from here today without grabbing one of these. And it's going to talk about kids, guest experiences, life groups, prayer, student life, transform, worship. You'll notice, too, that, and Ryan's going to be back over here with part of the men's ministry, he is, and then Kelly also is going to be over there for women's ministry. So if you have some questions or thought, knowing that that's who you could go to on a larger scale about what's happening specifically within the area of ministries, okay? So I'm already pushing later than I wanted to, so let's go ahead and break it up. So ones, twos, threes, fours, all right? Awesome.